Okay, friends, welcome to Greek Club. We finished the Lord's Prayer, and I believe also the sayings on forgiveness through Matthew 6:15. Apologize for coughing and so forth. As I've been telling people who ask how I am, I'm not quite sick, so that's okay. The sermon continues in verse 16. You have these three sort of typical subjects with regard to first century Jewish piety. That is to say, giving of alms in 6:1-4, but do that without evil motives, and then prayer. And then the extra material on the Lord's Prayer is kind of stuck in the middle of the teaching on prayer. And then now we have fasting, right? About which we modern North Americans generally know absolutely nothing. So that's good that we're not doing anything important except reading Greek, because it's Greek Club. So chapter 6, verse 16. Hatenda nestuete, me genesta hos hoi hypocritai skitropoi. That's a great word. Afanidzus engar ta prosopa auton. Hapos phanosin, tois anthropois nestuantes. Amen lego himin. Av echusin tan misnan auton. So we have a conditional relative clause here, hata plus on, so whenever. And then you have the present subjunctive from nestuo, which means to fast. So whenever you plural are fasting, may, now this is interesting, often you'll have a Greek prohibition, or most of the time, is may plus the subjunctive, right? And here you actually have an imperative form for prohibition. It's not that common. So may ginesta, this is from ginomai, it could be an indicative, but it's in context with may, it's an imperative. Don't be like the hypocrites are. Skitropoi means something like disfigured in face or something like that. It's one of those words that you look up in the lexicon and then you forget what it means until you look it up again. Now, I do have to... We'll come back to that. For they disfigure, afanidzusen. They disfigure the faces of them. And again, it's a question of motive. In order that, phanosen is from what verb? Anybody?
Phino.
Anybody want to parse it? Phan?
Aorist subjunctive.
Aorist subjunctive. What voice?
Active.
It's actually passive.
Oh.
The sixth principal part of phino is ephanein. It's strong, there's no theta eta. Yeah, nice grunt. Yeah, no. This is actually the aorist subjunctive passive, and aorist passive forms typically have active endings, and in the subjunctive they do as well. So, in order that they may be visible, you could get the passive force in there if you wanted to translate it that way. Two people as they fast. Okay? Truly I say to you, they are receiving, often given a kind of a perfective translation in English, they have received the reward of them.
Have you thought of any way to sort of capture this? It seems like kind of a wordplay here with afanizo and then phanos and there.
That's a good question. No, I haven't. You have a suggestion?
No.
Disfigure and appear. Yeah. You could probably work on that, though, because okay. The verbs are, typically, they are closely related. So.
Five-page paper next week.
Five-page paper, sometime between now and when you retire from the ministry. So you've got lots of time on it. Does everybody have a stack of pieces of paper on which they've scribbled ideas of things that they want to research? Mm-hmm. And you'll never get to them, but that way you don't at least have to remember what they are. So that's good. I literally, it's little scraps of paper. It's about maybe 3/8 of an inch thick. That's a lot of ideas.
They get thrown out every 10 minutes.
No way. I keep them. I haven't moved in a while. So yeah, nobody wants me, so I'm staying here, I guess. I have a call document. So. Good. No, it's actually a good suggestion, Ryan, about trying to get a wordplay going on, but I have not thought how to do that. the very strong parallelism, whenever you do this, don't do this, in order that. I mean, you see it in all three parts of the of this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. So we'll shift to a new subject matter in verse 19, from piety, if you will, to possessions and wealth and so forth. But now we're finishing up piety. So don't fast and have everybody say, oh, cool, you know, he or she is fasting. That's, you're not supposed to do that. Okay, good. Anything else? All right, we'll press on to verse 17. Sude ne stuon. Alepsai su te kephalein kai ta prosopansu nipsai. Hapos me phanes tois anthropois ne stuon. Ala to patrisu to en to krufaio. Kai ha pater su ha blepon en to krufaio. Apadose soi. Singular. Note the shift to the singular. I don't know if it's really significant, but it does shift. But you, singular. Maybe we'll take this participle as temporal. While you are fasting, alepsai. This is from alepo. It's the aorist infinitive. Excuse me. It's the aorist imperative active second singular. It looks like an infinitive. In fact, that's what I said it was. But it's an imperative. Anoint of you the head, anoint your head, and wash, nipsai, the face of you. Another aorist imperative active second singular. I think this is, here's what I was going to say before. I don't have anything at all against the imposition of ashes, but I find it ironic that this is the reading for Ash Wednesday, where Jesus says, wash your face, don't let anybody see what you're doing. Of course, it's motive, so, you know. I suppose if someone were disposed to go up and get ashes anointed, you know, on their forehead so that people would think they were cool, that they shouldn't do it, right? So, yeah, that's pretty funny. At least I think it's funny. Verse 18, but again, the issue is motive. In order that you, and now here we have another form, me phanes. This is, once again, is an aorist subjunctive passive, second singular, from phino. Ephanane, again, is the sixth principal part. Okay, in order that you might not be visible to people as you are fasting, perhaps, something like that. Rather, now we've got the dative, so you repeat, in order that you might be visible, now the dative, to the Father of you, the one in the secret. We've had crypto up to this point for secret. Now we get kryphio, which is an unusual word. For all the world, I wonder if this is just what Dr. Veltz called, what does he call it when you get a pattern that repeats, 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 and then changes at the end? It may be a sign of orality. That is, you've heard this pattern and now you get a different word, you think, oh, we're at the end of the oral unit. Okay, it's kind of hard to know, you know, exactly how these things would have been heard, but maybe that's the explanation for the shift to this adjective. Your Father, the one who is in secret. And, as a result, probably, the Father of you, the one who is seeing in the secret place, will pay you back, will reward you. And apodidomi takes the dative object, which is why we have soi instead of se. So, again, this part of the sermon is very carefully structured and very rhythmic. And there's lots of ways to point that out. So, questions? Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
On those aorist subjunctives of phino,
yeah.
Are those morphologically any different than an aorist active subjunctive?
Yeah, the aorist active subjunctive would have an iota in the stem. See, phino.
Right, but aorist, the third.
I'm sorry, that would be present. Well, let's see, what is phino?
Ephanon.
Is it Ephanon?
I think so.
I'd have to look it up. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up. I don't know the answer.
Okay.
That's a good question. Stump the jock. Good job. Right? It's not that hard, especially when I have a cold. Well, actually, it's not that hard in general. But. Okay, good. Ready for verse 19? We'll get into a new section. Tom, go ahead.
I have a question about the construction toe and toe, refio. That's repeated with the participle haplepon in the next clause.
Right.
Does Greek ever do sort of backwards ellipsis?
That's a good question.
Where,
yeah.
Because what does it mean to say the Father who is in secret? Just that he's there with you when you're in the secret place? Is that how you take that?
I think so. Yeah, that's a good question. Backward ellipsis. Jim, you know, Vels would probably, well, he certainly would have a more informed answer. It would seem odd to me to do that. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you, on the other hand, like Hebrew, if you... You know, you state an element, and then in the succeeding clause, you can omit it. And Matthew does that fairly frequently. He just
shorter poetry will.
Oh, will it really?
Assume what's coming.
Oh, it will.
If it's clearly in the parallel clause.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, my initial impression would be it would be odd to do that. Yeah, but what we need is Dr. Vels here who can say words like Sprachgefühl and things like that. So,
I'm sorry, so just some understanding what you're saying. Maybe perhaps the hablepon is assumed in the first part.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah. So that perhaps it should be translated, but the Father of you, the one who sees in secret. Right, right. Yeah, it's a good question, Tom. I can't say with the... definiteness, but it would look odd to me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. As a 21st century North American non-native Greek speaker. Always learning, right? Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, anything else? Good questions on 17 and 18. I'll try to look up that morphology question then. And if we're all surviving the last week of the term next week, I'll try to bring an answer. So. All right, 19. Me thesaurizita. You mean thesa rus epites kais hapu seis kybrosis afanidze kai hapu kuptai dia ru susen kai kuptusen. So again, now we have may plus another present imperative. Do not treasure for you, maybe a dative of advantage there. Now the direct object treasures. You could take this prepositional phrase as adjectival or adverbial. Do not treasure on the earth for yourselves treasures, or do not treasure for yourselves treasures on the earth. I don't think it'd be much of a difference in meaning. Hapu is where. Seis means seis is a moth, I think, isn't it? I didn't look this up. I'm just relying on the RSV from my memory here, I'm ashamed to say. That sounds, everybody agree with that? Okay, good. And rust, brosis, they disfigure, which we've had, you know, a couple of verses before. And where thieves, di-a-rususen means to break through. Okay. Maybe the picture is knocking a hole in the wall of a Palestinian peasant's house or something. Right?
Or a hole in your sweater.
Could be. Well, except it's thieves here. Yeah, right, right. Oh, maybe that's
moth.
A kind of a moth.
The moth.
The thief moth.
The thief moth.
Yeah, maybe. Now that you do have to work up a 5-page paper on, right?
Like a Batman villain.
Yeah, right. Right. Where thieves, present indicative, isn't that nice? Breakthrough and steal. Kleptusen. You look at a verb like that and you go, my stars, it looks like I know that. Can it be that easy? You know? Yes, it's oethes mente use, right? With a movable new, right? Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. Don't do this. And now he'll tell us what to do. Verse 20, right? So, questions about 19? Pretty straightforward, Ben? Oh, I thought you looked like you were going to ask me something that I couldn't answer. Again, so getting a little scared there. Okay. I'm used to it. Verse 20. Thesaurizitata, you mean thesaurus en urano. Hapu uta seis, uta brosis, afanense, kai hapu kleptai, u diarususin, uta kleptusin. So treasure for yourselves, treasures in heaven. Again, in heaven could be adverbial or acute or adjectival. Probably means in the presence of God or something like that, right? Where neither rust, moth nor rust, disfigure, and where thieves do not dig through, break through, nor steal. Yeah, repeated vocabulary. If you got it the first time, you get it the second time, the present imperative. I will say this about the present imperatives in the structure, this part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's hard to figure out. There's an interesting variation between present imperatives and aorist imperatives. Actually, there's actually a note on this in the commentary. It's not entirely clear to me as to why. As I recall, and this is one of the things that I used to know, and then I wrote it down and I can't remember what I know. I think I tried to argue that the presence of present imperatives might help indicate the beginning of a new unit. Okay. But again, I'm always a little shaky, to be honest. How much do you make of this verbal aspect thing, and what's the significance of it? Again, often there's payoff, and you can be quite confident, you know. But there is a kind of a puzzling alternation. I think Dr. Vels would probably subsume this under his specific case commands and policy commands paradigm. But he's not here, so we won't do it that way. But again, pretty straightforward. Verb, object, right? Not too bad. It's almost as if a Jewish person were speaking this. Get this nice paratactic, which is why Hebrew is for pea brains. I just say that because I can't remember any Hebrew. All right. 21. Hapugar.
I was eating my apples. I almost missed that.
Yeah, that's good. Hapugar. Estin ha thesarasu. Eke estai kai he kardiasu. For where your treasure is, there also will be the heart of you. The logic of these two clauses is kind of interesting. I tend to take it as it's almost like a conditional sentence where the first clause, the prothesis, is evidence of the apothesis. So it's not like cause and effect, but it's, oh, here's a person and I can see that his treasure is somewhere. What that indicates is that it's evidence of where his heart is. Okay, something like that. It's not like, okay, if I put my treasure here, that will drag my heart along behind it, kind of a thing. So, in that sense, it's similar to what Jesus probably will say in a slightly different context at the end of the sermon, by their fruit ye shall know them, right? So, but again, grammatically, piece of cake, right? For where your treasure is, there will be the heart of you also. Okay? Man, we're just making progress. Now, this is an interesting saying. We'll take 22 and 23. Probably stop there in just a second. Haliknastu samatas estin ha-athomas. Eanun e ha-athomasu ha-plus halantasomasu fotenan estai. Eande ha-athomasu paneras e halan tasomasu skatenan estai. Eun tafas ta en soi skatas estin, taskatas pazan. Maybe we'll just do the grammar and we'll come back to this, because I see it's, you know, almost time to stop and people have class and so forth. So the lamp of the body is the eye. That's easy enough. Therefore, if your eye is sound or whole, or some such translation as haplus, the little letter eta with all the squiggles on it, that's the subjunctive of eme, right? So in an aeon clause, it's the present subjunctive. That's the verb. Therefore, if your eye is sound, the whole of your body will be shining, photenon. Okay. I'm going to say this, and Ben will have to check this one out too. I think that holon, the adjective, normally stands in the predicate position with the noun it's modifying, which is why you have holon ta soma, not ta holon soma.
Okay. It's like pas, right?
Exactly, like pas or like the demonstrative pronoun, right? And then verse 23, but because of the contrasting nature of the saying, but if your eye is evil, the whole body of you will be dark. What's the opposite of shining? Darkened? Anyway. Therefore, If the light, the one in you, is darkness, how great, pazan is kind of a pronoun that means as much as great as, how great, and you have to supply the verb, is the darkness. Okay. Boy, that's a kind of a grim place to stop. But it's still Epiphany. It's not Ash Wednesday yet. So we can live in hope. And
it's Mardi Gras.
It is Mardi Gras. That's right. Bad Tuesday. Okay. Thank you. We'll meet next week. That'll be the last week in the term. For Hetaira Hellenis, Greek Club. Right?
Thank you very much.